where does America fit prophetically? Many people ask why America is not clearly mentioned in the Bible in terms of prophecy concerning the last days, because you have the most powerful nation, the richest nation that has ever existed in history, and it's nowhere to be found, really, in the pages of Scripture. Well, let's go through that. One possibility is decline. That's exactly what we're seeing right now. America has become so weakened morally, spiritually, and politically, it no longer functions as a dominant superpower that it once was. Like every great empire before it, internal corruption, debt, division, and moral collapse could reduce America from a global leader to a diminished nation with little prophetic significance. Maybe. A second possibility is economic collapse. America's massive debt, reckless spending, inflationary pressures, banking instability, and dependence on a fragile global financial system could eventually trigger a catastrophic collapse that just devastates the nation economically and removes its global influence almost overnight. A third possibility is that the United States would actually morph or be absorbed into the one world government. Rather than disappearing entirely, America could simply become absorbed into the emerging global system described in Revelation 13 and 17, surrendering national sovereignty to the global governance, which would involve economic, technology, security, centralized political control. A fourth possibility is war. America could be severely weakened or devastated through internal civil conflict. Think about this. How long do you think half the country is going to put up with half the other country wanting people dead? At some point, the bubble factor is going to come out. I'm not an advocate of that. I'm just saying that's a possibility. Or you could have terrorism, cyber warfare, or you can have an EMP attack and put America back to 1875 with no electrical abilities. Or how about nuclear conflict with Russia? Or a major international war involving powers like China, Russia, Iran. We're already in a war with Iran or other hostile nations. Scripture indicates global instability and wars that will intensify in the last days. So it's a possibility. A fifth possibility of what happens to America is the rapture. America would be virtually destroyed overnight if millions of Christians and children suddenly disappeared. The economic system, military readiness, transportation networks, healthcare systems, communications, and every major institution in the country would be thrown into total chaos. Since America still has a large Christian population compared to much of the world, the impact could be catastrophic. But a sixth possibility is judgment. Throughout the scriptures, when nations reject God, celebrate evil, persecute righteousness, and shed innocent blood, judgment eventually comes. Whether that's the Canaanites, whether that's the Philistines, whether that's the Babylonians, whether that's the Assyrians, whether that's the Egyptians, no civilization in history has survived prolonged moral rebellion against God without any consequences. And America is not exempt from that principle.
Thank you, Pastor Brandon Holthouse, Rock Harbor Church, Bakersfield. Say prophecy watchers around the world are paying attention to the deteriorating world, more specifically, to America in decline. As America goes, so goes the world. But let's remember, all nations decline in the last days as they're going to morph into global government, a one-world system run by the Antichrist. No one can stop this progression, not an American president, not the head of the EU, not the United Nations. No one can stop what the Bible predicts. But won't the world superpower, America, always remain prominent? Well, not according to the Bible. Pastor Brandon Holthouse spelled out six options that could take America down, all very plausible, most of them inevitable, but the most intriguing one that has been presented by prophecy scholars for many years is that America will be so paralyzed after the rapture of believers that we will easily blend into the one world system. Joining me today for the second installment of Falling Into Place is Michelle Bachman, now with Regent University's Israel Institute. She served Minnesota's 6th District in Congress, 2007 to 2015, ran for President of the United States in 2012. And Michelle, welcome back into the studio.
Thank you, Jan.
And give me your thoughts on a few of the points laid out there by Pastor Brandon Holthouse on potential, well, things that could cause the demise of our great country.
Well, I don't think what he talked about was futuristic, mm-hmm. that we're talking about some impossibility years and years into the future. I think what he's talking about, we're seeing evidence,
yes.
right now, today. And so I think even more, the Bible is more relevant than ever because it's predicting what we're seeing today. And that's why as believers, we need to read the other parts of the Bible about how we are to maintain our readiness. And also, this is our inspiration for advancing the gospel, mm-hmm. right now to save as many people,
right.
as possible.
Right, right. Well, there were some intriguing things. Again, economic collapse. I mean, how does a country recover from, isn't it almost $40 trillion in debt?
Well, and it's important for people to realize no nation ever in history has ever been this dead flat broke.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, I did a debate in San Francisco with Donna Brazil.
Yeah.
She was a Democrat,
yes.
a strategist, you might
yes.
say. You see her on TV. And so she was saying, oh, we're the richest country in the world. We can afford all of this huge welfare state. And I said, you can't afford it when you're broke. And right now we're the brokest nation in history with virtually no hope of ever paying this money back. There is a way, but you have to completely restrain yourself and change your budget. So this is a predictable event. If you and I are both, we've overspent to the level where we can't even keep up the interest payments mm-hmm. anymore on
right,
our credit
right.
cards, that's called bankruptcy. And so the United States is in a situation where we don't even like to talk about how broke we are because it's too scary.
Well, a couple of other thoughts, too. One that Pastor Holthouse didn't mention, and that would be, you and I talk about it, quite frankly, for 15 years, getting Israel wrong.
Yes.
If America gets Israel wrong, and we're going to head there in a moment.
We pay a
or two,
price.
Yeah,
we pay
then,
an unbelievable
yeah,
price then, as a nation.
And all American people pay
yes.
that price as well. Another issue is immigration, and we've seen that decimate Minnesota, and we have sounded a warning that that can happen everywhere. And I think when you and I talk about the Islamic infiltration of Minnesota, you know, it's not to beat up Muslims necessarily, but it is a warning because our state is suffering from the fact that many will not assimilate and some of the related problems that come from this immigration that is unchecked. It began in the 90s, thanks to Bill Clinton. As a matter of fact, we can play a clip and show exactly what's happening.
We're about to experience the Azan here at Masjid Dar al-Hijra.
So they're about to make the Azan right now. Bismillah.
The historic moment.
Welcome to Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is where history was made. This is the first
major
city in the United States of America where the Adhan can be broadcast, meaning it can be heard outside the masjid on loudspeakers. This is the story of how Minneapolis became the first American city to pass a bill to allow Adhan of all five prayers to be heard outside the masjid. How did this happen in America? Why did this happen in Minneapolis? Who were the people behind this? And can this happen all over the U.S.?
Historically speaking, the first masjid to be granted the right to call the Adhan on loudspeakers was Masjid Dearborn, the American Muslim Society.
This masjid is the first masjid in the United States to make the call to prayer, the Adhan, publicly outside. We went to the court against the city of Dearborn in 1981, and we won the case.
After that, in 2004, America's first Muslim-majority city, Hamtramck, became the second city where Adhan was legalized by the local government when the noise ordinance change was put to a citywide right vote. 16 years later, in 2020, the City Council of Paterson, New Jersey, authorized the call to prayer between certain hours of the day. But the difference between Dearborn, Hamtramck, Paterson, and Minneapolis is that Minneapolis is the first major U.S. city where Adhan has become the law. In the Ramadan of 2020 that took place during the pandemic, Muslims of Minneapolis approached the mayor. They took the initiative and the mayor responded positively. The Adhan was broadcast 5 times a day but ended when Ramadan ended. The last year in 2022, the Adhan could be broadcast but due to the noise ordinance only between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m., which meant that Fajr and Isha were often excluded. But finally, in 2023, the Adhan of all 5 prayers were ready to be broadcast. History was made when the city of Minneapolis signed into law the Adhan Bill, allowing masajid within the boundaries of Minneapolis to openly call the Adhan on loudspeakers.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Before this, the Adhan in America was only heard if you were inside the masjid, not outside, on loudspeakers, like you can in Muslim countries. It was unheard of. Imagine. So how did such a significant event like this happen? There must have been a lot of effort that took place. Let's begin our story with Masjid Darul Hijra, the place where this historic moment took place.
This is Darul Hijra Mosque, the oldest Somali mosque in Minneapolis, right here in Cedar Riverside, the heartland of Somali America.
Okay, the Twin Cities is our hometown, and I raise this in part because more and more Muslims are winning important races. We have Mr. Al Sayyad, who's just won his primary in Michigan. Ilhan Omar here in Minneapolis, Rashida Tlaib. And so they are gaining influence and power, which is a concern, I think.
Well, this isn't just a random event or that this just happened accidentally. I think what most people don't understand is the history of Islam and what Islam stands for. Yes. And what the elements of Islam are. Islam, from its very beginning under Muhammad, has been about conquering.
Yes,
and
exactly.
It conquers one city after another. It's called Hijra. That's the name of the concept under Islam. So what you just showed in this clip is this is intentional Hijra to conquer. So here we are, the strongest nation yeah. on earth, the most economically advanced, the most military advanced. And what we need to get a clue about is the fact that there is an effort by the Islamic world to take over the United States, to conquer the United States. So you mentioned just prior to the clip, assimilation.
Yes.
And here in Minneapolis, there is no assimilation, but it's true all over the United States. It's true over Western Europe. It's true in Australia, where you've seen this Hijra, where an intentional level of Muslims coming into a Christian, historic dominated Christian country, they're coming in not for the purpose to assimilate. They are never planning to assimilate and become Christians. They're here to conquer and to dominate and to do away with people like you and I and our viewers who are considered infidels.
That's right.
And so we have two options. We're either to submit to Islam. That's called dhimmi. We're called dhimmis. We're supposed to submit to them, or they do away with us. They kill us. They steal what we have. And we've seen that here in Minnesota. And now people have heard of it nationally,
yeah.
what happened in Minnesota. You're literally talking over $20 billion that's been stolen from Minnesota. We may have mentioned this on a prior episode. In Somalia, the taxpayers of Minnesota supply more than half of all of the national budget of Somalia. Why? Because of all the money that's been stolen and taken from Minnesota and then sent over to Somalia. A lot of it in cash in little roller boards
exactly.
that go through the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport.
Exactly.
It is beyond belief what's happened. You and I could spend show after show after show, and people would be astounded. They're astounded. Their jaws would be on the ground for what Hijra looks like in the United States. We've seen it in Minnesota. As this clip showed, we are the first
yes,
city
the first
in America
city.
That's allowed this. I raised the alarm when this happened with broadcasting the Islamic prayer 5 times a day. I could get no one
really?
To join me. No one. I contacted legal scholars. I contacted pastors. Nobody wanted to get involved. The fight seemed too big.
Were they afraid? What was behind their motive?
Well, yeah, that's part of Hijra, of what Islam does. They make people afraid. That's why we've seen so many Islamic terror attacks here in the United States. We're coming up shortly on the 25th anniversary. Yeah. Of September 11th.
Yeah.
That was intended to bring in intimidation to the United States. Hey, look, this is how tough we are. We can bring down your strongest buildings, the Pentagon, the World Trade Towers, the attack that happened in Pennsylvania. They're showing, be afraid of us. We shouldn't be afraid because we are the superpower. But they cause us through fear to forget who we are. And instead, what do? We submit. And so here in Minnesota, we've been a state that's been run by Democrat politicians for decades.
Yeah.
And so our Democrat politicians in our state, they have completely submitted to the Islamic community here in Minnesota. So we have Amy Klobuchar running for governor.
Yeah.
Do you think Amy Klobuchar is going to change this Islamic domination in Minnesota? Are you kidding me? We're going to continue to see the unmitigated theft of Minnesota taxpayer money in Minnesota, because I haven't heard her say how she's going to stop this, or our candidates running for the U.S. Senate. Mm-hmm. We'll find out in the primaries very soon who those people will be. But this is outrageous. It's not happening only in Minnesota. Texas is seeing a huge influx.
Yeah.
Tennessee is seeing a huge influx. Guess what? They're choosing red states, conservative states. That's where they're advancing Hijra, and we better wake up and get a clue because this is happening all over America, and our Democrat presidents don't stop it.
Yeah.
They cooperate with it. Only Donald Trump, a Republican president, has actually taken this on, but there's so much more we need to do. So we aren't just talking political here. We're talking biblical here. Why? Because Islam is a false religion and a false god. That their God is not the God of the Bible. And remember what that loudspeaker is shouting 5 times a day? It's shouting, Allahu Akbar, God is greater, meaning the false God. That's what Satan in the Garden of Eden said, I'm greater than you, God. That's what this false God shouts, I'm greater than you.
All those living in Minneapolis are literally hearing it 5 times a day. Including 3:30 in the morning. I want to raise another issue here as it concerns decline, and that is the issue of Romans 1. And I think a few of the scariest words in the Bible are God gave them over.
Yes.
Because that indicates that, well, God's kind of giving them over to themselves and to whatever evil happens to be in their heart. I want to play one more very quick clip of Brandon Holthouse talking about this. Number 2.
And that is what we are witnessing here in America. It's not just simply political dysfunction. It is spiritual darkness consuming a culture that has rejected the truth. Now, let me be clear before we go any further. Christians do not support political violence. We reject hatred, murder, and vengeance, regardless of political affiliations. But we also must recognize when evil is being normalized in society. And that is where it becomes prophetic. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. So what we are watching is an entire culture invert morally before our very eyes. Truth is now called misinformation. Biology is now called hate speech. Christian morality is labeled extremism. Patriotism is called racist. Biblical convictions are described as dangerous. And meanwhile, open sexual perversion, lawlessness, violence, transgender surgeries for minors, anti-Semitism, and rebellion are all celebrated as virtue. The Bible warned us that this would happen in the last days. If you look at even Romans 1, it describes a culture that suppresses the truth and unrighteousness. Eventually, God gives that society or culture over to a debased mind. So notice the progression in Romans 1. First, people reject God. then morality collapses, the truth collapses, then culture begins to celebrate evil itself. And that's exactly where America is right now. This is not simply political polarization. This is spiritual rebellion against God. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age." So behind the chaos is a spiritual kingdom of darkness working through human systems in America and in the West. Satan has always sought to destroy nations from within.
So, Michelle, I believe that Romans 1, in a sense, is a judgment in itself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. If you read Romans 1, three times it says God gave them over. Yeah, you said those are the scariest words
in the Bible.
And what that means is God gave us over to the sin we desired.
Yes.
And he said, "You chose it. I give you free will. You get to have it. Now see what it's like." That's the judgment. The judgment is when we walk in the sinful desires of our heart, and he allows that to happen. And what Brandon said is right. This begins with rejection of God, who God is, his sovereignty, and rejection of his word. And that's what Romans 1 is about, rejecting God's word in favor of ourselves. It's very similar to Genesis, the book of Genesis, that Adam and Eve forsook what God said. They forsook who he was, what his admonition was to them. And instead, they believed the lie that came from Satan himself. And that's what Romans 1 describes, a direct parallel in a different way. Mm-hmm. But it is us getting to live the sinful desires of our life. And so we bring the judgment on ourselves. We can't blame God. We blame ourselves because we revel in the sinfulness and rejection of God.
Well, I see some people reveling again in some of the most blatant kinds of perversion any of us could ever have imagined. And I appreciate little Fox News here as they illustrate in this little two-minute clip. I think the ultimate in strong delusion and the ultimate in evil mankind, not Christians, but evil mankind, coming up with their latest gimmick to lure in kids. And that would, let's play clip one, please.
Transgender dolls are set to debut in Minnesota classrooms this fall. The taxpayer-funded paper dolls come with genitalia that can be removed and then swapped out. A therapist at the University of Minnesota Medical tells the New York Post that they spent over a decade developing the dolls. The goal is to help kids, quote, learn about the different options that exist for who they can be. A website for the dolls promises to, quote, make gender fun. It says they were designed for clinicians and educators and lists their purpose as therapeutic play and gender identity exploration. They'll reportedly be in classrooms with kids as young as 4. Kaylee, let's start with you. What's your thoughts on this?
It's just remarkable that Tim Walz failed to secure, you know, the release of the illegal alien child rapist in Minnesota, who he tried to pardon, was deported anyway, and immediately turned his attention to this, to exposing young preschoolers to genitalia. Put aside the transgender element to this for a minute. Why does a 4-year-old need to be exposed to genitalia, period, point blank? It's completely unnecessary. And so I think, you know, for those who predicted that maybe the left would take a more moderate approach on this issue after 2024 and that maybe they would, you know, abandon wokeness altogether, no. Clearly, it's just lying dormant in some of these states. And when politicians, again, remember, he's not seeking re-election, he's done. And when they don't have any restraints, this is what happens. Mm. They pursue it to its full force, and they are only going to ever get more radical on this issue. So I think it's a warning for Republicans, but also for parents, for those of us who have young children, to constantly be on guard about this stuff.
Okay, again, an illustration. Again, our home state, apologies, folks.
Marxism, just, Islamism, Central, yeah. Jan.
No, don't move here, folks. Don't move here. You just spend a weekend with grandchildren. You want them seeing things like this? I mean, this is the ultimate in being given over. It's the ultimate in strong delusion. Yeah. And it's the ultimate in people being deceived, thinking this kind of evil is good.
Well, that's right. And I think this clip shows the essence of where we're at today. And again, there's so much that we could say about this clip. You had mentioned political before this clip. Look at the political now. Nearly all of the Democrat candidates that are running this year, it isn't just Tim Walz, nearly all of them, the Democrat Socialists of America, this is what they want. This isn't just some freak thing that's happening in a therapist's office. This is in every public school classroom, at least in Minnesota. Just think, for four-year-olds who Dr. James Dobson, on his radio show from years ago, I know he talked about how children, they're in an age where they are completely suspended regarding sexuality. They don't even think about sexuality for all of these years. And so now these freaks want to focus children's minds on looking at the parts of genitalia and telling them a lie, an absolute satanic lie from the pit of hell. You have the choice over whether you're a boy or a girl. That's not what Genesis says.
Yeah.
God says in Genesis that God created us, his highest and best creation, male and female. That's the first thing that God says about us, that he not us, he creates us male and female. And so to take a little child and purposely confuse them and tell a little child a lie that you can choose to change your body. You know, you have to look at the statistics. The statistics show the very first transgender clinic was Johns Hopkins University in America, aimed at adults. And they ended up shutting down that clinic originally. Why? Because there's so much suicide. People are lied to that, oh, people will commit suicide if they don't get transgender operation. Just the opposite. So what this led to is more suicide. So what did they do? They lowered the age to little children. And so this is the biggest moneymaker out there now because drugs are involved, surgery is involved. You mess up an entire generation. It's almost like this came out of the mind of communist China or out of communist Russia. Or out of Iran to say, I know, let's push this in America. You want to destroy a nation? This is how you destroy a nation. So this is not you and I being excitable old prudes. What we're saying is America, Romans 1, Genesis 1, take a look at the evil that is in our day that is incomprehensible. In our lifetime, we could have never imagined that Minnesota classrooms, I attended Minnesota classrooms,
so
you attended Minnesota classrooms, this would be considered illegal, contributed to the delinquency of a minor, of a four-year-old, of a preschooler. They are forced to go to public school unless parents make provision otherwise. So children are forced to go to the classroom. They're captives in a classroom. So we're giving the most fringe radical advocacy groups the right to teach a lie as truth. But these children will pay a price. And when they read the Bible or see anything about the Bible, they will see that what they were taught is completely the opposite of what the Bible says. This is so serious, and we need to recognize this is the agenda of the Democrat Party. Mm-hmm. In 2026, with all these primaries and the elections that are coming up in the fall, you want to stop America?
Yeah, that's
my point. You opened up this show on the decline of America. Yeah. You want to stop America in its tracks? You teach every four-year-old in America that this is normative, and America's done. America's over. We need to realize and grasp how serious this is. So for every one of your viewers out there, this is it. You sit home and you don't vote and you just throw up your hands and say, I guess America's over. No, it's not over. You have the right within your power and your ability. You need to go and vote. And you and I aren't here sitting, you know, Republican, Democrat. But we're saying there is one party that has embraced this as normative. That's what Brandon just said. Yeah. They are normalizing sin, normalizing it to the point of legalizing it.
Yes.
And so we've got to stand against this. So for pastors out there who are so blind, who are saying, I'm not going to preach about politics in the pulpit. We're not saying preach about politics. We're saying you need to preach about the reality of what's happening in our society and tell them what the Bible says and say, this is something, Christians, that you can do. You can vote for morality or you can vote for immorality. Wake up and smell the coffee, because otherwise you're responsible for the decline in this nation.
Well, here's the difference between when you and I were in school and today. Obviously, we are now in the last of the last seconds. And again, and I think of some prominent Bible verses, including 2 Timothy 3, in the last days,
yes,
men will be, of course, lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, and then this intriguing little line, without natural affection.
Yes.
And I see that more and more every day. I see it in my personal life, but I see it in just what we're talking about. Humanity doesn't have natural affection for a four-year-old because they want to pervert them with this kind of transgender doll nonsense.
And if any grandparent or if any parent saw the filthy materials, I used to be a Minnesota state senator. I used to be a Minnesota congresswoman. I sat on the education committee. I saw these absolutely filthy materials. In fact, we had a parent advocacy group go into our then governor, Mark Dayton, with the materials. They were in comic book form. Mm. That's how these fools got around the obscenity laws, because it was put into comic book form for kids. And our governor, he recoiled from it. And he said, put it away, put it away. I don't want to see it. He ended the meeting and he kicked the people out of his office. If the Democrat governor of Minnesota, his mind and his heart couldn't take this filth, now we're going to put it in by mandating it in front of four-year-olds, and it's coming to your state soon. In fact, it could be very well there. Again, take a look at this. This is the agenda of one of the two political parties in the United States. This is their agenda. You brought up earlier in the show, El Sayed.
Yeah.
This is a guy, a Muslim guy from Egypt, absolutely full on accepts everything that the Quran says, advocates the Quran. As a U.S. senator, as a senator in the United States of America, and you use the words proud and arrogant. In 2 Timothy, it says, in the last of the last days, you will see pride, you'll see arrogance. That defines Satan in the Garden of Eden, that he was proud and arrogant. As I have looked at this El Sayed, all I see is pride and arrogance. And that's what he's spouting. Let me tell you, he will not be advocating the Christian mindset or the Christian thought or the history of who we are. Let no one deceive you. In 250 years, we're celebrating the Declaration of Independence. But going back to the very beginning of America, from the 1607 landing at Cape Henry in Virginia to the 1620 landing of the Pilgrims at Plymouth Rock, those people were founded in the biblical world of view of God. They came because of they were committed to the Bible. As a matter of fact, most people don't even know. In 1607, when that ship came aboard, the pastor, Robert L. Hunt, who was on that ship, he saw the infighting among those who were on the ship. He made them stay and repent and get on their knees for 3 days before he'd even let them get off the ship. He said, we're going to go out unified in Jesus Christ, or we're not even going to land. That's the people who form the backbone of this nation, not Islam. Islam was nowhere in America.
Yeah.
But you would think today, when you look at these candidates, they're about two things: advancing Islam, letting Islam conquer America, and the second is communism, letting communism conquer America. That's what one political party is offering this fall: communism and Islam. I never thought I would see the day when the agenda, the literal agenda of one of the two major policies, is conquering Islam of America and conquering America for communism. It's revolution in its purest form.
Well, our good friend, now deceased, Phil Haney, warned us, warned in my radio studio, the two of you were sitting side by side, this would have been as long as 8 years ago, of the coming...
8 years ago! That's all!
Yeah.
Unbelievable!
Yeah. The coming Red-Green Alliance. We talked about it last time. That's the merger of Islam and communism coming in to affect America, tear down America, destroy America. We have it. It's here.
Oh, if you're voting, essentially, if you're voting for a Democrat this year, you're voting to advance the Red-Green Alliance. Yeah. Is there an exception? Yes. John Fetterman in Pennsylvania. He's the only Democrat senator who hasn't embraced this Democrat Socialists of America agenda. He's the only one. And if you look at these House members and these governor candidates and those running for the state legislatures and the state senates, they have literally cowered. I mean, this is what cowards they are on that political side of the aisle. They're such utter cowards that they fear the Islamic money and the Islamic power, and they fear the communists. Listen, if you fear communists when you're running for office, if you fear Islamic conquering now when you're running for office, you're never going to stand against it once you get into office. So people need to realize, I mean, I'm waving a red flag right now, not a white flag. I'm waving a red flag right now. This is so serious. People need to recognize as they're voting in primaries and in the general election, this is it. This is it. If the midterms are lost this November, then you want to talk about decline of America, that first clip today? There you go. Bam! Ooh, I can see it, you know, sliding down the hill. This is a moment when we can either hold on or we can lose.
All right.
And send this clip to anybody you know, because this is true, this is real, what we're predicting will happen. If you choose Romans 1, if you choose the Red-Green Alliance, You will make the decision for the decline of America. Why? Because God will have given America over to choosing communism and Islamic conquering.
There's one more thing, and then our time is running down, that we need to include here. Something you can't get wrong. You and I have said this half a dozen times on air. You can't get our leaders, president and beneath him, cannot get Israel wrong. And you and I have some serious concerns, and we talked about it in our first episode of Falling Into Place. I want to expand about it here in the next few minutes, and then we'll wrap this up. Let's play one more clip again, and it's Pastor Brandon Holthaus. And what he's bringing out, again, is there's a segment of our society that, for a dozen reasons, has turned away, has no interest in supporting Israel. Their parents might, their church might, but they, as an age group category, have turned this topic off. If we could play clip 6 and come back and wrap things up.
Why do I go into church history? Why am I making such a big deal of it? Because the fight right now is with our view of Israel. Listen to this guy, John Kiriakou, a former CIA officer. He's anti-Israel. He's making the rounds on Tucker, Theo Vaughn, and Joe Rogan podcasts, spreading his lies.
Your religion was created in somebody's basement in the 1800s. I don't want to hear your position on Israel and Palestine. One of the biggest problems that we have in this entire Israel-Palestine situation is the problem of Christian Zionists, most of whom are American evangelical Christians. Palestine used to be 10% Christian. It's now more like 2 or 3% Christian. And most of those Christians have moved to the United States. Evangelical support for the Israeli government has resulted in an ethnic cleansing and the destruction of Christian communities in historic Palestine. So what side are you on? Are you trying to save Christianity, or are you trying to destroy Christianity, because you're destroying it right now?
The fight's coming to you with jokers like this. This guy's evil, and the podcasters that are promoting this guy are evil as well. And see, what you're realizing is what Jesus is saying is not irrelevant. It's hitting you at the front door. That's where the fight is. And you're going to have to be able to combat that idiot right there. That guy's a liar. That guy doesn't know church history, or if he does, he's lying. I wouldn't trust anyone from the CIA as far as I can throw them. But I'm definitely not going to trust Tucker and Joe Rogan, Theo Vaughn, Sean Ryan, and the rest of them. But you understand, this guy and these podcasters, they are your new false teachers. They are your new false prophets that you have to combat. Because you know who's listening to them? The young people. And ex-military are listening to these guys. Ex-military and Gen Z and millennials listen to these guys. They're not listening to pastors because you know why? The pastors don't say anything anymore. The pastors are not talking about Israel. And look at what's happening right now. The treasure has been found. God has a plan and a future for Israel. But look what happens. 2025 becomes the deadliest year for the Jews outside Israel in more than three decades. Look what else. Generation gap in opinions towards Israel. This is not theory that this is happening. Our young people hate Israel for no reason other than listening to podcasters. They have no theological background and don't even understand from the river to the sea. Don't even know what that means. They don't understand. All they hear is genocide, apartheid, colonialism. And you tell lies long enough, the young people are not taught history in their school. And so they become corrupted. And we're losing them. So we have youth that are disenfranchised. Okay? I want you to think about this. When you have people disenfranchised, can't make a living, the economy is killing them, you got to look for someone to blame. Who are you going to blame? Joe Biden? Because they don't want to, he screwed it up. How about Obama? Why don't we blame them? No. The world and Satan is creating a scapegoat. And guess who that scapegoat is? Blame Israel for your problems. Blame the Jews for your problems. It's 1938 again, guys. That's what's happening. 60% of Gen Z support Hamas.
Okay, Michelle, I think there was a turning point in context to what we've just heard. Probably back on October the 7th, 2023, when something was unleashed on this world, some sort of Jew hatred was unleashed on this world. Young people under 30, under 35, swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. And of course, you spent time at a Christian college where I don't think you see any of this, but you're well aware of it, that the younger generation has no time. Their parents may, their church may, but they have no time for Israel, God's covenant people.
Well, it's true. And in the first place, you have to have pastors preaching
yes,
about this.
Yes, you do, and we don't.
Because that you're right, and that's a big issue right now, because how much time is spent in the Bible? How much time is spent explaining the importance of the Bible and who God is and what the Bible has to say about Israel? In the 1970s, when we came to the Lord, there was a huge amount of instruction mm-hmm. and preaching about, really, it's just the Bible. That's all it is. If yeah. you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, Israel is everywhere. Israel never departs the scene. And so we're told by these fools today, these liars today, that Israel's departed the scene. Israel's irrelevant. God has rejected Israel. There's nowhere in the Bible where it states that. In fact, Israel's mentioned right up until the very end in the Bible, in the last book of the Bible. So it makes no sense what this guy is saying. But is this real? Yes. And you and I have talked about this before. This was intentional. Remember, October 7th was intentional by the haters of God, the haters of the Bible, and the haters of Israel. They had a ring of fire built yes. around Israel. Iran built this ring yeah. of fire. They had this long-term strategic plan that all of the Arab nations, Islamic nations around Israel would all to simultaneously attack Israel, and they intend to kill every Jew. That was their plan. They state that in the Hamas charter. That's one of their points. They intend to kill every Jew. And so we saw that in our lifetime. We've seen that played out on October 7th, that they plan to kill every Jew. That is anti-Semitism, which is Jew hatred. You hate Jews. So that's what that plan was. But it was more than that, because another part of the war is the propaganda. This is the propaganda. Yeah. What we just saw is propaganda, which are lies that are said so that people will turn against the Jews and turn against Israel. And so it's come out, even U.S. Ambassador Mike Huckabee stated, that over $400 billion have been spent by Qatar, the nation of Qatar, which is the chief funder of terrorism in the world today. They've spent $400 billion on our kids, on our kids. So they've spent money on these influencers to tell people, and maybe this guy is one of them. We don't know. I'm not saying he is. I'm just suggesting the possibility that maybe he's one of them that's out there specifically turning the United States against Israel. Why is this the part of the war to defeat Israel? Because the American people are the number one ally to Israel. Yeah. And we help them with weaponry and all sorts of things. But if we turn against Israel, then literally Israel stands alone. And the whole world, no other nation will stand with Israel. Once America no longer befriends Israel, well, Israel stands alone.
I see us pulling away. I see us pulling away and making some bad choices, starting with our president. And we've talked about it.
Well, what we've seen is a real mixed bag. I think whiplash is the best
the
word that I could use.
You
had the strongest level of support ever in American history on February 28th of 2026. That was Donald Trump joining forces with the Israeli Defense Forces. And they worked together literally hand in glove. We saw the most miraculous 12 days when the United States and Israel worked together against the greatest evil in the world, which is Iran, the chief state sponsor of terrorism since 1979. We worked together, and they saw defeat like never before. And the problem is President Trump pulled back the punch and said, wait a minute, we're not going to finish the job.
Yeah.
I believe we had it within our capacity, Israel and the United States working together. We could have finished this thing off. The decision was made not to, for whatever reason, and now we've been limping along. And so it's one day of the week, President Trump will say, we are going to bring about worse firepower than World War II.
Yeah.
We're going to take it to them if they don't agree to a deal. And then the next day he'll say, you know, they're pretty good. We're working with them. They're begging us for a deal. So he's whiplash. He goes back and forth. He's of two opinions. On one opinion, we're going to finish him off. On the other opinion, we're going to work with them and get a diplomatic deal. That's not the Arab mindset.
Yeah.
That is not the Iranian mindset. The Iranian mindset is they conquer us for Shia Islam. And they do it through fire. They do it through terrorism. And so I wish somebody in the administration with authority would figure out what the mindset is and deal with the reality on the ground, but also look up and trust a holy God. Because God rewarded those who had faith and those who believed in the power of his word. And the power of his word, the essence is, those nations that bless Israel are blessed. Those who curse Israel are cursed. And so as we, by faith, believe God, and if we would work with Israel, because we now have an administration in Israel that sees that Iran is an evil power. Donald Trump saw it in the American administration, and I've told you this before. I believe the destiny for both Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu for being in office at this moment was because they had the physical characteristics in the natural together with the supernatural, powerful hand of an almighty God to work together to defeat Iran. And if Iran is not defeated, the Bible predicts that Iran will join with Russia. It will join with Turkey and other lesser nations.
Yes.
And they will come against Israel in Ezekiel 38. But then God himself will supernaturally rescue Israel. The blessing comes, Jan, when we trust the Lord. And when we trust the Lord, we have the opportunity for unparalleled blessing in the United States if we would join with Israel to defeat this unmitigated evil.
Well, we can make a difference. Our prayers are heard, and you just are into your sixth annual 40 Days
that's
of Prayer and Fasting. That's a part of Regent University. And why didn't you give that a 30-second plug? And I've had emails saying, hey, Jan, I can't fast for 40 days. So we need to explain that's a partial fast. You can give up, give up sugars or give up coffee or something like that. But the point is, this can move mountains.
This That's moves mountains. Point. We've seen miracles literally for the last 5 years, and this is on the biblical calendar. It began when Moses, when the Ten Commandments were broken, he went back up to the top of Mount Sinai for 40 days, and this has been practiced among Jewish believers for years and years. And so what we do is we follow the biblical calendar, and that it begins on Thursday, August 13th, and ends on September 21st. And we join together every day, and we join on Zoom. So just go on Zoom and go to type in regent.edu/Israel and join us at 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time, 9 o'clock in the morning on Central Time, and Monday through Friday we'll be meeting together on Zoom for the purpose of prayer. We'll have a teaching for about 10, 12 minutes, and then we'll be praying. We'll be praying and asking God for the miracles. And we have seen God answer every year. We come by faith, and he answers. So won't you join us? I'm inviting you. Come and join us. regent.edu/Israel. Go on Zoom and join us for this. And as Jan mentioned, we pray. And we invite those who want to fast to fast. You don't have to fast if you don't want to fast, if this isn't something for you. But we invite you because miracles happen. We need a miracle. So won't you join us? regent.edu/Israel. And this is sponsored by the Israel Institute at Regent University. Thank you for those who have come before. Please join us now because we need to join together and unite in prayer under the banner of the Word of God.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for all you're doing, particularly in that regards to prayer. And again, folks, and we're going to be here again probably in a couple weeks and give you another update. In the meantime, our next magazine is coming out shortly. You can sign up for that online. We'll show it on the screen. The Understanding the Times 28-page magazine. Visit our online store. We have 100 products. They're all marked like 50% off right now. olivetreeviews.org. Now, I want to close with the most important part of our time together, and that is I want to say this, that I believe that many of you are watching. Some of this that we've said makes absolutely no sense to you. Some of you maybe just are casual readers of the Bible, for instance, and many of you have not committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you to do that because it says in Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that all we have to do, all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be saved. So won't you do that even before the end of the day today? Is just get down on your knees, repent of sins, and say, Lord Jesus, I want to turn my life around. I hope you'll do that. If you do, will you write me at olivetreeviews.org. We're going to be back here again in a couple of weeks, and we're going to look and see how all things, you know what, they're not falling apart. All things are falling into place. Thanks for listening.